Ready? Are we ready?
Yes.
So, last week we started on, I forgot what side we decided.
Death comes to everyone.
There we go. Real happy and joyful title. But we're not talking about physical death. We're talking about the death of the flesh or ourselves or our own rule, our own opinion and view, and giving life to and surrender to the voice, opinion, direction, and flow of God. How that's a daily process. This was a real kind of isolated week for me. Even though people were around, I kind of really felt very, very to myself. and really sought through some things about life and what life is. To me, found out another person that I know closely, not friend, but knew, passed away. She's a couple of years younger than me. She grew up in the Bronx around us. I know her. She's the one who sang Funkin' for Jamaica, for those of you, right? Tony. And once again, I sit back and I look at how short this time is, the whole Kobe thing. And everybody's response is the same. We never saw this coming. Like I just talked to him yesterday. Who would have thought? And I start to think about really not how much time I have, because that I don't know. But I got concerned about what I'm doing with the time that I have. Very important point, because we can get caught up in yesterday and want to go through this whole debate with ourselves about what we could have done with the time that we had, or what time we let get away, or how much life we've wasted. Am I wrong when I say that? We can go through that thought process a lot. And I've come to the realization that it's a dumb thought process, because you can't get that time back and you can't do anything with what you should have done. So maybe we should be putting more energy and focus on what we are going to do with the time we have left. So I started thinking about it from that perspective. And I came to this realization. I was clearer on the time that passed and what I felt I missed than I was on what I was going to do going forward. Ooh, it's solemn up in here. I'm striking a nerve right out the gate. So somebody bears witness with me, right? We can focus so much on what we could have done and should have done and didn't do, that we don't talk about what we're going to do or supposed to do from this moment forward. And this week, the scripture, forgetting those things which are behind, you press forward to the mark of the high calling, start to take a different shape to me. You can't change the past, but you can change the future. Or you can repeat the past, and I can talk to you 5 years from now, and you can tell me the things you regret some more. Because if we don't change the direction that we're going, what we'll do is continue to build up memories and stack up a pack of failures that we can reminisce about. So I realized that I had a collection. I wish I could make you giggle a little bit just coming out the gate, but I started to realize I had a collection. Anybody bear witness with me? Of missed opportunities and failures and things woulda, shoulda, coulda, didn't do. If I knew what I knew when I was your age, you know, parents love saying that. And the question always is, you ain't doing a doggone thing with it now. So what difference would it make if you still do the same thing? You would collect memories. And I remember that as God began to show me, and I didn't even share this with my wife, I just sitting there thinking about a lot of stuff. She's been asking me a lot, you okay? You're sighing a lot. You okay? Yeah, I'm okay. But yeah, there's some lot of stuff going inside of me. Because here's another thing I realized. Get your seatbelt on. When you run out of your own bad memories to collect, you start collecting other people's. You start remembering what other people did wrong that they could have did right to you, for you, by you. The things your kids should have done that they didn't do. The thing, come on, man. It just becomes this perpetual focus on what's behind. Now, you're just quiet because you're just really being, like, spoken to right now? I want to challenge us to let that go. Forgetting those things which are behind. Well, things are behind the things that are behind last Monday. Not 10 years ago. Not 20 years ago. Can you let go of yesterday's mistake? Can you drop yesterday's failure? No, because we're defining ourselves by our yesterdays. You're waiting for me to give you the solution, right? I'm actually giving it to you. The scripture tells us to not focus on the things that are behind, but on the things that are ahead. So what I want to challenge us to do today and myself is say, God, give me a rebirth. I want to be born again in my thought processes. Give me a rebirth of how I deal with even what I consider failure. Because even the things that we've considered failures, if we let God use them, he gathers up the fragments that nothing are wasted. All things work together for the good. Even the things we consider failures are things he'll use for our success. So if we continue to focus on it as a failure, we never use the tool correctly. Have you ever seen someone use a tool incorrectly? It's a funny thing to watch when you know how to use it. This season, I want to die to the past. I want to die to the failures, the disappointments, the heartbreaks. I want to die to negativity. Amen. Notice I said I want to, because it's a new awakening for me. And like I tell you, when I get it, I give it to you straight off the press. A lot of people have hurt us or disappointed us in life. And those things have defined us. I'm sorry, I wish I could give you a happier, more bouncy message. You want me to switch subjects here? Willingly or unwillingly, those things have defined us. They've defined us even in us trying to prove that we're not that. It's still a definition. We're trying to build who we're supposed to be off of what somebody said that we didn't want to hear. You abandoned me. You neglected me. You called me a failure. You loved my sibling more than you loved me. All of those things become definition. And then we work our whole life fighting to escape that definition. I'm here to pronounce and offer to you that we can be set free from this moment forward. We have the right to choose not to be what anything or anyone has said we are. So when we went over Luke 18 last week, we were in 15. Was it 15 that we did last week? Yes, verse 15. Right? And just to bring back this point now from this perspective. And they brought also to him, to Jesus, infants, that he would touch them. But the disciples saw it and rebuked them. The disciples saw the people bringing children to Jesus. And as we went over the word rebuke last week, they didn't just say no. They took issue with it. To rebuke is a sharp charge. What we looked up, levied a tax, decided on their own merits who was worthy of Jesus and who was not. They decided that, obviously, that they were. Come on, nobody votes themselves out when they're in a position like that. So they decided children weren't worthy of Jesus. Now, I can take that as baby children. We can take that as people that are not as Christian as certain religious Christians think Christians should be. I speak to people all the time that talk and understand God better than most church folk. And they don't consider themselves Christian. And I sit down and talk to them sometimes in amazement, like, you got more God in you than most pastors I know. So I begin to think about this. And we talked about it last week. What barriers have we set up or allow somebody else to set up in us or things that we felt we should have completed and didn't complete that have made us rebuke ourselves from the presence of God or the greatness of God or the gifts of God or the calling of God or anything God wants to do in your life? What are some, forget people now. Yeah, they played their role, but we keep giving them the role. What are the things that God is beginning to show you are the things that you have set up, the barricades that keeps you from the greatness of God? Forget everybody else. If we can get past our own barricades, we can go far. So they rebuked children because they decided children weren't worthy of God from their position. And Jesus responds, suffer, which means allow. It didn't mean suffer, meaning they're going to make the children suffer. That's why when church people say, the Bible said Jesus learned from what he suffered. It's the word in the Greek is allow. He learned from the things which he permitted. It means to permit. It doesn't mean to torture. Suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not. That word forbid. What is it to forbid? To stop, but it's not just to stop. Forbid. It's to ban. It's a ban for, it could be forever. But I want something about the intention. You give me the definition, but there's also intention with definition. I give you an example. I've had girls in the past say to me, stop. I have girls say, stop. That ain't the same stop. One stop means stop. The other one means I want to pretend I don't want you to do that, but do that. So when you say forbid, it's not just they banned them. There's an intention attached to this ban. It's an absolute. It's a a final law. It's a decree. No, absolutely not. It's a ban, but it's with an intention of self-righteousness or attitude of finality. You've concluded that you have the right to sanction how far somebody can get to God. It's done with an intent that you actually have the authority to say so. So Jesus said, allow the children to come to me and do not forbid them. Do not take the position that you have a right to say. And then he goes on to say, for such, meaning children, is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whoever does not come or receive the kingdom of God as one of these little children shall in no wise enter. So he said, Jesus took the forbid from them and flipped it on them. Did you catch that? He said to them, you, unless you are like this, you're forbidden. So the reality became, as we talked about last week, I said, I'm seeking God to learn to be more dependent on him and not more solid in me. Let me tell you something that has been challenged up to one side and down the other this past week. And every time it was challenged, I immediately picked up my armor and my weapon and I was ready to go to war. Because I know, and I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about legally, mentally, whatever. I know what I have and I possess. And I know if you want to mess with me, I can take you down. And God kept saying, where's the dependency on me that you talked about on Sunday? And I realized I was saying to God, you listening? I got this. I need to bob you for this one. I got this. I'm good. But that's not what we talked about. We talked about you depending on me. Lord, it was easier to preach it than it is to... Yeah. Okay. So, I start to realize that these perceived failures not only created weights, they also created defenses and responses that come out of me instinctively and that without my control. Right? Knee-jerk reactions to things. Somebody says a certain thing to you and whoof, and you're like, whoa, you ready to go. And that's not what it meant to them at all. But to me, you went against me. You tried to hurt me. No, I wasn't trying. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Because this means that. It always means that. And I had to come to the realization, you're now giving your baggage to other people. You now let these people in these failures frame your world, and now you're framing the world of everybody around you in that world. Time for reflection, ain't it? And we do it. Who in here doesn't do it? We do it. But we're going to change that. We're going to die to that. I should not have to keep apologizing to you for what somebody else did or said. And explaining my intention. Neither should you. You shouldn't have to keep apologizing to me for my perception of what you said or did. Can we be free? I don't know what you laughed at just then, but it just touched me. I don't know what it was, but my spirit bore witness with it. Whatever, freedom is freedom. I'll take it. Can you tell I've been before the throne a little bit? See, because when I get before the throne, see, I can go before God and get a message. But when you get before the throne, you get corrected. You get rebirth. You get new life. You come out and it's like, ooh, I come out feeling clean and nasty at the same time. I come out with a mess. I can come out here and just wow y'all. But when I get before the throne and God touches me, you know, if you think about even the book of Revelations, or every time he would appear, the people would fall to the floor as dead men. They become afraid. You have to say, fear not. Right? Because they immediately recognize this presence, and all of a sudden your filth becomes very evident. You thought you were so intelligent to somebody much smarter than you walked in the room. Then you realize how dumb you are. But you was the smartest guy in the room all the time until this group walked in. And it's the same way when you get in the presence of God. He begins to show you how smart you are compared to him. It's not that doggone smart. So I literally left God's presence feeling like a babbling, bumbling, idiot child. You know, just like, wow, God. Wow. And here was my feeling when I got out of his presence. Why am I preaching? Like, who am I to tell anybody how to do anything? See, that's when you know you got in his presence. Like, who am I? I don't even need to be up there. Do you have somebody else in mind? Because I am just totally screwed up. And he said, right. But your strength is perfected. My strength is perfected in your weakness. I use the remnant. I use those despised. He said that. He said, because you're real about it, I can use you. And I go, that's not a whole lot of comfort, but I'll work with it. Let's just go with it. I'll take it. So literally all the way up to it was time for me to come downstairs. I'm sitting in my office going, really me though? Am I really the one that should be delivering this? Shouldn't I get it first? Should I at least master it? He said, no, but that's why they love you, because you give them your junk. So y'all can say that, see, you're sorting just like me. So the kingdom of God is defined in us coming like, now, it says, suffer the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Now, what I missed last week, and every time I read this, and when I see little TV shows and depictions of it, I always see children. 5, 6, 7 years old, 10 maybe, right? They show me when they do it in the church plays. They bring up the little children, right? And Jesus touches the children. They forbid them from bringing the children. But go back a verse, because it says, and they brought unto him infants. These are not little walking on their own account children. These are infants. So this changed the game. Because he said, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you come like them. And my mom said, children, yeah, because they're so innocent and they trust whatever you say. And, you know, they believe mommy and daddy. And I can see like little baby faith. Right. And we've taught that. It has been taught in church for years. But no, I looked it up. And the word is infants. Even in the Greek, it's infants. So guess what he said you got to be like to enter the kingdom? Pooping on yourself. Throwing up, can't use the bathroom yet, got somebody to feed you, you must come like. Come on, that's good. That's good. Because that took the weight off of me when I saw so I can come soiled. That little baby right there? That's what Jesus wants. That's how you see the kingdom. totally dependent. She can't even sit herself up without you holding her. I don't know if she rolls over yet, but she just do that at least. Okay, good. So if you can roll over, you fit for the kingdom. Doesn't that take all that yesterday baggage away? I don't think she counts how many dirty diapers she soils. I don't think she's keeping count at all. I don't even think you're keeping count. You follow what I'm saying? It's how God sees us and it receives us and loves us no matter how grown we think we are. Say, I'm always his baby. Infants. See, she received that word. Infants. I want to learn to be more dependent. I want to stop trying to be grown up. I want to learn to be more dependent. I want him to lift my head up. The scripture said he's the lift of my head. I want him to hold my head up because my head's still good like this. You know? You know, just wow, we ain't got no strap in the neck yet. Just hold it up for me, Lord. You know, I want him to help me sit up and hold me up straight. I want him to change me when I need to be changed. I know these are some kind of funny analogies, but he said, unless you come like this, you can no wise see the kingdom of God. We're spending so much time trying to learn to walk away from God or walk apart from God or call God when we think we need his assistance that he's saying, I need you like an infant. You know how that's tenderizing my heart toward other people? I'm like, maybe I expect too much of people. How they supposed to act and treat me and get indignant. Come on, we get indignant. I was talking to somebody and they said, you know, I don't consider myself racist. I said, you may not be, but you're prejudiced. I don't think I'm prejudiced. I said, everybody's prejudiced. Everybody's prejudiced. Everybody's prejudice. It can go down to what kind of boots you like over somebody. I would never wear those. That's a prejudice. Food you eat. That's a prejudice. Neighborhood you come. How could she dress like that? How could she dress like that? Maybe her mama dressed like that and that's how she taught her to dress. She don't know no other way. What are you talking about? Common sense would tell you. Who's common sense? This is what's common to me, so that's sense. So I'm really. Let me go to the next verse. Let's go to the next verse. Let me bring this home. I don't have a long message today, but it's good. Thank you, sir. Go to John 12. And there's so much of this I can read, but I'm not going to do all of it. I'm just going to go. Verse 14. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, so that's a donkey. Let's make sure we understand this. This is not the book of R. Kelly. Bad pastor. Jesus help me, Lord. And when Jesus found a young donkey, he sat thereon, as it was written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on a donkey's colt." Watch this. These things they understood not his disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. Now, this is where I want to bring this home. Ready? Two things are going to set you free from living out of that history, past, failures, whatever that you build up and allow yourself to be defined by and other people. One, what we already talked about, knowing that God sees you and wants to receive you as an infant. Number two, are you listening? Number two is praying to be delivered from this hindsight Christianity vision type thing, that we can't see what God is doing to God is long past. These people walked with him. They did all the stuff that their scriptures and stuff said that would be done with him down to the crucifixion, but none of them realized it to after he was gone and resurrected and risen to glory. And they're like, oh, wow, it's right here. Sound familiar? I pray for all of us that we come out of this hindsight Christianity that we can't figure out what God is doing until it's long gone and done. I want to see what he's doing right there. I want to say, wow, this is written and you're doing it and I'm seeing it and I'm participating in it and I'm a part of the flow right now, not 15 years later go, wow. And I think we've accepted, well, you never know what God's doing. Well, God works in mysterious ways. No, we don't really believe that. Yeah, well, there's a part of it still does, because we don't figure out what God is doing until after he's long done it. I want us to believe that we can be in the now with God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I want us to believe that we can see what God is doing in our present moment. And if we can, we won't be focused on what we call failures of the past. Our hearts will be focused on what's being done, what's being built, what's being erected in our lives. And we will be a part of the process instead of a part of the hesitations of it. thank you, dear. I believe that that's God's desire for us. You have not because you ask not. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. God works in mysterious ways is not scriptural. We don't have to figure it out by stumbling into it. We don't have to figure it out by failing into it. And listen to what I just said. Because a lot of time we figure out what God is doing in our life by failing into it. And we've accepted that that is the mode of operation, and I'm telling you right now, and it's not. It said they didn't even see or realize that when they put him on the donkey, they did not realize what they were doing until after he was dead and buried and resurrected. And then they were like, oh, wow, we were doing that with Jesus. How great would it have been if they could have saw at the moment what was happening in their life? How great would your life be right now if you could go back? And in those moments when these things were happening for your victory, recognized where you were and been a part of it. Those relationships you would have never gotten to. Those relationships you would never ended. All of that stuff. I don't know about you, but at 61, I don't have no time to be figuring it out 10 years later. I don't want to be into getting in my coffin going, oh! Come on now. Or getting to heaven going, oh! That's what you were doing. But the church has been comfortable with that. So if we can get our focus on being lined up with him today. But it makes me feel, but I feel so, yeah, I'm bothered because nobody don't like that. And God showed me, I ain't talking about you, I'm talking about myself. God told me, you whining too much. Oh, you getting older, you getting more sensitive? Like, knock it off. Your feelings get hurt by every little thing because you focus on everything from your yesterday. And that means this. But there is a scripture to say his ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I figured one of the main ways his ways are higher than our ways is because he's not living out of the past. How many of you have ever built something? Big project or small project? So then you understand when you begin to build something. If you never built something, how many of you went to school for a degree and worked for it? Either one. You know when you came in that there was process. Some of us had to take prerequisites. Some of us could just go straight in and start taking classes. But whatever the case was, there was a goal at the end. Graduation day or the completion of that project. And everything then stopped being a problem and it became necessary or what was needed to get to that place. Unless you come from the school of contractors who say to you, you're going to always run into some kind of problem. It's going to run up costing you five times more than it started out to be. And you believe that? Then it turns out to be that. Okay. But there's been, I'll keep it down here so it won't be too loud. But there's been many building projects that we've done. And every time they said to me, it's going to wind up costing you more. I go, no, it won't. Matter of fact, it's going to cost me less. Is it going to take longer? No, it's not. It's going to fall right in place and everything's going to work out right. And that's always been my tone about it. And I would say to them, it's going to work out right if I have to do it myself. I've had the contract say, I got to leave. I got to go do some work on another site. And he come back next day and half of his work is finished. I say, okay, I got to pay you less now because I did your work. Well, why you did that? I said, because you left. You left. I have a deadline. You may not care about my deadline, but I do. And because I have that deadline, I'm going to finish it. And if you want to get paid for the full job, that's why I don't give contractors money up front like that. That's a whole different subject. Let me just say that quick and then get off. Don't ever give them no 50% and stuff like that up front. For what? I'll give you some money the day you show up on the job. But I got to get equipment. Send me the list of what you need to get. I'll order it. It'll be here when you get here. I'm not giving you $5,000 up front on the $10,000 contract. What's your immediate need to show up for me? You $5,000 already in the green. You ain't coming till you good and ready. You trying to collect a few more $5,000. I always keep them behind. I don't get paid till I finish working. You don't get paid till you finish working. I'll pay you in benchmarks. When you finish this, I'll pay you that. When you finish this, I'll pay. I know, Jason, you don't like that because you're a contractor, but that's how I do it. Right, but you're good, okay. But you follow what I'm saying? You get paid for what you do. Well, listen, going back to off of that now, here's my point. Focus on what the project is. Let God show you what the project is. Let him let you be involved with the project every step of the way. Ask him, can you be the GC? Can you be the general contractor? Can you actually have your hand in the project? Can you be a part? He will let you. He will let you be a part of the process. He'll show you the blueprints. He'll walk you through them and he'll give you step by step what it takes to build. He will show you. He will let you be. You can't focus on all that junk if you are real time, up to date, on the job with the Father. I don't want to figure it out after it's done. Then wind up walking into the blessing and going, I don't even know how I got here, but praise God. So then you need to get there again and you don't know how to do it again. So you're right there, right back where you start. God, let me cooperate with you. So those are the things. Be his infant and then be part of his process. Cooperate with him. I love it because that still fits the infant stage. Babies cooperate. They don't change my diaper like that. I don't like that. What's that you can make sprinkle on me? No, I don't like that sprinkly stuff. Right? They cooperate. They have no choice. They cooperate. If we cooperate with God, and we become like children, infants. Come on, say it again, sis. Things will go a lot smoother. I just gave you what I've just learned. You're going to see a whole different person in me in the next couple of weeks and months because I am current. That's my confession with God. I am current with God. I'm not catching up with God. I'm not playing run up and hide and seek. I am current with God. I'm up to date. He sends me the bulletins. I expect to see them and be ready. And I'm going to be ahead of the game when he needs me to be. If he says, I want you to be there, I'm going to meet you there. I don't want to always be behind God 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. The buck stops now. Say, I and God are current. I hear his voice. And the voice of a stranger I don't follow. The voice of my yesterday I don't follow. I am current with my God. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen.